Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, this is Angie Scarpa.
And Melanie Maka-Evey.
And Emily Burton.
And Alice Austin of Black Savage. And you're listening to Tom and Zeus on Shout It Out Loudcast.
That's right. We're back with another episode of Dorm Damage, the show where anything and everything is on the table and the table gets smashed. This week, one of the things that Zeus and I love, not as much as Kiss and grunge and whatever, but we love our stand-up comedy.
Yeah, when you find a good one, sometimes they're like obscure or sometimes a certain joke hits you more than other people. You go to it. A good comedy special is I can watch it over and over. And yep. It's like the brilliance of the delivery with the laughter of the crowd and the expressions that the comedians make it. Some people make it work. Others don't. But some of the ones that work, these ones are our favorite. And we're going to list 10, not in any order.
No. And it was tough. And it was tough coming up with 10 because, again, me and you, we love this stuff. And now with streaming TV, I mean, Netflix actually has a category. They have a separate individual category of stand-up comedy where you could just go and just exhaust yourself. And then they're all on YouTube and they're all everywhere. I remember back, I don't know, in the 90s or even in the 80s, it was either had to wait for them to come on HBO or you'd buy like the VHS, the DVD. And some of these are legendary and some of them might be some deep cuts. But we'll find out.
Yeah, I have a bunch still on DVD.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And I'll go to them, you know, sometimes. And they're just fucking awesome, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just fantastic. So let's start this thing off. I'll do my number 10, Tom.
Yeah, and again, these are, for me at least, like you said, these aren't ranked. They're just 10.
Yeah. So for me, I'm going to go with, and this one's a little bit of a dark horse, I would say.
Okay.
And because he's probably the least popular on this movie that they did. And that is on the original Kings of Comedy from 2000, D.L. Hughley's set.
Oh, nice.
So never mind the jokes he does about like banging your wife and your kid walks in the room and stuff. Okay. But he has this thing where at the end of the show, he just starts fucking ripping on people in the crowd.
Yep.
The first guy sitting there eating nachos in a fucking like Bill Cosby sweater. He's all over him. And then he's like ripping on everybody. Then he goes to this huge guy. He goes, "Hey, man, I ain't going to fuck with you. How long you been out?" It's like, you don't get no muscles like that from no gym. That guy. And then he sees some guy in the corner and he literally has a fucking members only jacket on.
Oh, dude.
And he's like, God damn.
Yeah, exactly. God damn.
And then the camera goes on him. And the guy's like, oh, shit. He's like, you had to go way back in the closet and pull that one out. Oh. And then the other guy is like, holy shit, you got some big ass teeth. Look at those teeth. The teeth like that, your birthday's on Easter, isn't it? Oh, my God. I just had, like, you better not go down on any woman. I can't have kids anymore. Give some woman a hysterectomy with those teeth. Fucking hilarious. I love people that can think on their feet.
Oh, yeah.
I never watched his TV show. I haven't seen other specials, but I watch original Kings of Comedy. I love Cedric the Entertainer. I love Bernie Mac.
Bernie Mac. Rest in peace.
Harvey's actually pretty funny, too, on that one. He does the quick joke and he's like, The Temptations is five of them. One mic. They all share mic. Now you got all these rap groups, 50 people on stage. Everyone like, oh, oh, oh. Fucking hilarious. But Original Kings of Comedy is great, but I'm specifically mentioning D.L. Hughley, 2000. Kings of Comedy.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say 2000. Right. All right.
2000. Yeah.
2000. All right. For me, I'm going to go with people. Some people might say, depending on your style and your taste, but arguably on the Mount Rushmore of stand-up comedians, some people call him the GOAT. I'm going from 1992, the Jammin' in New York City special with George Carlin. Oh. An absolute, I mean...
You could have put any of his
on. I know. Well, that's the thing. There's a bunch of guys on this list you could put, but I'm pulling that one because... not only is the guy fucking brilliant, but 30 years later, pretty much everything he says applies to today. And the guy was just the absolute, and he was one of those comedians where he made fun of everybody and everything and shit on everyone. So you never knew where he stood, like politically or socially, because everybody was open season. Fucking brilliant.
He hated fucking liberal, like, what do you call them? Fat ass docker wearing liberal save the planet assholes.
Yep.
And then he hated Christian conservative.
Oh, yeah.
Like he fucking hated everybody.
Everybody. Yep. He was brilliant.
Great one.
Brilliant.
I mean, Tom, I could have picked a million of them. I'm going to stay on that theme.
Okay.
Called him. Yeah. I'm going to take It's Bad for You, his last special, the 2008 one.
Oh, okay.
And he's just so brilliant.
That's the thing. It's brilliance.
So he does the thing about like, well, you know, when you die, if you go to heaven, your parents will look after you. Okay. What if you're adopted? Who looks after you? Your real mother? Your real mother doesn't even know where the fuck you are.
Exactly.
What if you killed your parents? Yeah. Are they still responsible to watch you? Like stupid shit like that makes fun of fucking religion. And then he gets into this little bit. This is the reason why I picked this one. And I've mentioned it on the show and I've played clips from it.
Yeah.
And that is this thing where he calls this child worshiping.
Oh, yeah.
Parents.
Who yeah.
Like. Little Billy can never do wrong.
Yep.
And now, what do we say to Billy when he's the last one? You were the last winner.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's like, these kids don't know anything. They grow up until one day their boss says to them, Billy, grab your shit. Get the fuck out of here. You're a fucking loser.
Yep. Yep.
He's so relentless. And he has no tact. He'll throw the word cunt. He'll throw the word.
Oh, yeah.
He'll force your shit out. And it's so vicious. That's why it's so fucking funny.
To me, he is the king of what became like the observational humor.
Oh, you know? My God.
Which is what I love. I love. And there's guys on my list that are obviously excel at that, that didn't necessarily have to be overtly sexual or filthy. And there are guys like that on my list, too. And I know those yours. But the guy who could literally, like you said, literally just talk about something that is normal and everyday. And you're like, holy shit, you're right.
And there are people like that. And shit, that might be me this time. Like, right. He's like, now you're sending these kids off to fat camp, computer camp,
right?
Leadership camp. He's like, leadership camp? Isn't that where Hitler went? It's fucking genius. That one is from 2008.
Yep.
It's Bad for You. I saw him at the Melody Tent right before he croaked. It was fucking awesome.
Just nice. Just all right, I'm going to go with a guy. I'm going to take his special from 2014. He's in the forefront right now. If you follow him, if you're on TikTok or social media, he's still around. He's been around for a while, and he keeps getting more cutting edge. He's a right winger, but he loves to shit on everybody. And this is from 2014. I'm sorry you feel that way, Bill Burr. Now, people either love him or hate him. Or
I find him to be a right winger. Do you?
No, I guess, you know what? I take that back. I think... It just seems like to me that my antenna is up when he shits on. It's kind of, he's almost like George Carlin, where he shits
on women, and he's not scared to go there, and he's not scared to go there against black Americans because he's married to a black American.
His rant against the women's movement is hilarious because he talks about Why? How come no one's watching the WNBA?
I know that's
how, it. How come they're not making the same? And when he does this impersonation of women, how come they're not making the same amount of money? Like, because you're not watching it. Why I watch it?
Exactly. And that's the thing. He's like, he was that whole thing about the WNBA.
Yes.
And he's like, that's on you, women. Fuck you. Yep. You would support it, but you don't.
You don't. You so it's my fault.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. That is brilliant. I love him. Yeah. I find his sense of humor fantastic. And if you can catch him in on the early part of the Chappelle Show when he was really young.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he plays like those characters like in the skits. Like, he's in the friggin' in the race draft.
Yeah, he was making all the great comments. Yes. All right. So this is my number 8, I believe. I'm going to go with one that you know very well, Tom, and that is 1990s Damon Wayans' Last Stand.
Oh, good one.
Right when we got into college.
And that's 1990.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right when we got into college, somebody had that on VHS and brought it in.
Yep.
And he was fucking hilarious. He had one skit specifically where he was like, I'm down with Public Enemy, Heavy D, people on the positive tip. I ain't too down with this Two Live Crew shit. Yeah. Some gangsters with a microphone. And he has this big fat black Chinese motherfucker. Me so horny. Well, get yourself some pussy. Take that gold tooth out of your mouth and go get some money and go buy yourself some pussy. And your music won't be so corny.
That's fucking legendary. I forgot about that. Yeah, that's back in the VHS cassette days. Yes.
That's when he was running fucking handyman. He was talking about that in his act. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he's like talking about being at the gym and this one guy in the corner just rubbing his belly. Fucking, look at all this dick. And then he took that character and he made it fucking Men on Film.
Fucking,
it's brilliant.
Right.
You can see all the In Living Colors from that skit. It's Damon Wayans, The Last Stand.
That family tree of the Wayans is fucking legendary. All of them. Marlon Wayans.
I'm going to get you, sucker.
Obviously, Keenan Ivory Wayans. Just incredible brilliance, those guys.
Yeah.
All right. My number 8, I'm going to take a little bit of a left turn. This guy is one of those rare comedians that can pull off his routines without cursing, without being filthy. It's my kind of like, it's when I'm not in the mood for like a George Carlin or a Damon Wayans or, you know, Kings of Comedy. I got into him. I think the first one I saw here was 2007. It's called Standing Up. His name is Brian Regan. He's another one of those guys. But the thing that kills me about him is his delivery, his mannerisms, which you said this at the beginning of the episode. That is a huge thing for me with comedy. Your delivery, your mannerisms, your facial expressions, your tone. And this guy, it's observational humor. It's like Seinfeld type shit. But I just think the way he is, his face, his style, 2007 Standing Up. It's one of my favorite ones. He's got a bunch. He's gotten older. So his routine kind of, you know, some of these guys, they get older, they kind of round off the edges a little bit on their routines, but he's still great. But 2007 Standing Up is my favorite one of his.
Yeah. Great. Yep. I remember him. You know where he first started and I first saw him? MTV had a comedy show where they were showing stand-up comedians.
Yeah. Okay.
And the guy that was on, I think he was on Seinfeld once, and he was on Chris Rock's show. He was had a shaved head, the black guy, Martin, was it Marlon, something like that. He was the host of that, and he would show different people, and Brian Regan.
Yeah, nice. Okay.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
All right, Tom, I'm going to go with, and I want to kind of see, I have some, I'm going to pick the ones that you probably wouldn't pick. Or no, and that in so I can leave if we have duplicates time for put somebody else in that we don't have.
Go ahead.
So I'm going to go with in one of my favorite ones of all time. And I think it was the first HBO comedy special ever.
I know who this is. Go ahead.
This is Red Fox on Location 1978.
Awesome.
I have it on DVD. It is just nonstop. I Sanford and Son's my favorite fucking special.
Yeah, I know.
It is just weird. Listen to Fred Sanford just throw out the most vulgar stuff.
He is so nasty with his comedy. He is so nasty.
He has like one-liners like Henry Youngman. He's just throwing out stupid shit in the middle of it. He'll be telling a big story about something like go sink it or rob me. I'll cut it. And then next thing you know, he's like, oh, Confucius say fart in elevator smell different to midget. Like stupid shit like that. You're like dying laughing. And then he ends his bit, his show, with that whole thing about like, you got to wash your ass.
Oh, yes.
Walking outside, you go inside, you eat, you sit down, you go in the elevator, you go to the bathroom. You got to hit that shit with the washcloth. And guys. Make sure you watch those wild hickory nuts. And then he talks about fooling around with this woman. And he's like, if you don't wash it, and then you fool around and you're under the covers, and then that cover blows up and it's and then it falls down. And he goes, and it blows all that in. The way he describes it, and he does like a little bit of that Fred Sanford, like his heart attack.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, funk just comes up. Let me get a raincoat. I think it's a shitstorm.
Oh, God.
He's like, so I think good. It's you. It's like, I think your monkey died. Fucking hilarious. 1978, Red Fox, his the first HBO comedy special. Fucking brilliant.
All right. This next one, it was actually what kind of generated this topic because my 80-year-old mother who's visiting from Florida. We decided to watch it, and I texted Zeus, and they're like, this is what we're doing. I will never forget. We used to watch this religiously when you lived in Arlington, when we lived near each other. And that is 2000's I Might Need Security, Jamie Foxx.
Fucking love it.
God, I can't. I almost don't even want to talk about it, but we always come back to the OJ bit. It's like, He always looks guilty. But you know what gives it away? It's that walk. Like he's wiping shit off his shoes. And he's got that smile on his face. He's got that walk.
Yeah, he does that walk. And he
does that walk.
I don't recognize it. Then all of a sudden you see it. And you're like, holy shit. That's right. I kill again, motherfucker.
That's right. I kill again. Oh, God. Please check it. We're going to put all this up on the website, obviously, like we always do. You got to check Jamie Foxx. I Might Need Security. It's on YouTube. I think the entire thing is on YouTube for free.
The other one on that is that trip to Africa when he talks about filming Ali. That is one of the funniest fucking bits.
Oh, yeah.
The whole experience in Africa. It does smell like shit, doesn't it?
Motherfucker, that is you.
Motherfucker, that's you. No, motherfucker, you need to take a bath. You need to not take a bath. That fucking thing is.
Oh, God.
Brilliant. All right, Tom, that's a duplicate for me. I'll take that off my list.
Hey, if we have duplicates, there's going to be duplicates. So just you can keep them all.
I have enough.
Okay. All right.
All right. So I'm going to take, and you probably have them on your list, but I'm taking this set.
Okay.
I'm taking Dave Chappelle's For What It's Worth.
Oh, okay.
And that's from 2004. Now, you could pick a million of Chappelle shows.
Yep.
That one specifically, because he has that monkey and AIDS bit.
Oh, God.
He says, people said AIDS came from a monkey. Word? Like somebody sitting on. He's like, you know how hard it is to catch a monkey?
Yeah.
Let alone fuck it. He don't want to be fucked by humans. He's like you're hanging out at the crib and your boys, hey, we're gonna hit the club. You wanna come? Nah, man.
No.
I'm just gonna hang out here with my monkey. Jim, Ro's gonna jerk me off with her feet. Only a monkey can give you that kind of love and tenderness. You can get more pussy out there, more monkey pussy for me. And then he does that one. Is also grape drink. That's another
God, yes.
Water, sugar, grape.
Yep.
Dave, what are you talking about? We have grape juice. Motherfucker, what is juice?
Yikes.
The whole Indian thing, remember?
Yep. Yo,
I
yeah.
am an alcoholic. And then the last thing, Tom, when he talks about, like, I was going to stand up and talk, but then I saw what happened to those Dixie chicks, and I was like, fuck that. And then he talks about, I was watching MTV around that time, and they're like, let's get Ja Rule on the phone to talk about September 11th.
I love that.
He's like, I want to talk to Ja Rule about September 11th.
I love that.
What's wrong with you people? So that one's fucking brilliant. I think it's so good.
Okay. All right. Well, speaking of Dave Chappelle, I'm going with Dave Chappelle, too. I'm going to go back a few years before that to 2000 to Killing Them Softly.
Yes.
Which was another one that came out again. Jamie Foxx came out in 2000. Chappelle, this one came out in 2000. This is when we were in our glory with these guys. And it's just, you guys, if we have young listeners out there or people that aren't familiar, all I can say is you just have to go watch these comedy. When I was watching Jamie Foxx and I watched Killing Them Softly recently too, for obvious various reasons, comedy is like so different now. I mean, there are guys like Bill Burr and some other guys that are just they don't give a shit. They'll say whatever and they don't care. But when you hear Chappelle, he's talking about like, he's like, yeah, the white people in Washington, I don't like the old white people. We can't scare them anymore like we used to. Okay, he's like, I'll go up to him and be like, boo, what's wrong with you?
That's the one where I believe he goes, I walked into a place. You ever have something racist, so racist happen to you? And you're like, what the fuck? It's like, I wasn't even mad. I was upset. And he's like, I walked into this place and I'm like, I'm going to have. And the guy goes, the chicken.
Yes.
That's that one. I was like, fuck, what the fuck? How the fuck did he know I was going to have the chicken?
Yep.
He, Come on, buddy. Everybody goddamn knew as soon as you walked in here, you were going to get yourself some chicken.
It's brutal. Fuck it. But he's one of those guys with his delivery and his impression, his white people voice is just fucking legendary.
Oh, my God. I can't get enough of it.
No.
I think he's fucking hilarious.
Legend. Yep.
All right. Let's tone it down to the opposite of that.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with the Blue Collar Comedy Tour in 2003, Jeff Foxworthy. I loved him ever since he first came out. And, being in college at the time when country music exploded, he was like the cool guy amongst all the country music acts, had a southern drawl. And he was just funny, smart, observing comedy that, he could always find something humorous in it. And the one thing he does specifically in this set, and it's similar to original Kings of Comedy and Latin Kings of Comedy, there's four of them there. When he does his set, I think there were 30, and that was like Larry the Cable Guy, Bill Engvall, and who's the other guy?
Ron White.
And his is a 30-minute set. But when he does Redneck Words, I fucking die laughing.
Oh, it's awesome. He was great. He had his moment.
Mayonnaise, a lot of people out here today. Aorta, They ought to cut the ball, the grass near the ball field before some boy gets hurt or something. Enunciate. My wife ate a hamburger, cheeseburger, and then she ate a bag of chips and a hot dog. So stupid.
So good, though. So good.
And he's got some other good observant comedy bits and laughter and stuff. Good guy. And yep. I like his comedy bit. So that is the Blue Collar Comedy Tour 2003.
Nice. Yeah. Awesome. All right, number five, one of my all-time favorites. Definitely a you know, more recent guy, you know, past 10, 12 years, whatever, but everybody knows him because his specials are on Netflix or streaming. They're everywhere. That is Sebastian Maniscalco. The guy's a fucking absolutely kills me. I can't even get through his shows because he kills me. I'm going with 2014's What's Wrong with People, strictly because of the bit on the doorbell.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know what I'm talking about, go watch it. If you do know what I'm talking about, you know it, because he is, to me, he took the torch as the king of the observational humor. But he does it with delivery and tone and style. And he's a crank, and I love it. He just bitches about everything. I was going to pick the other one with that he does called Aren't You Embarrassed? Where he goes on this rant about how, because he's married to his wife is Jewish, and he goes to like a Passover meal, and he's just like, he's like the Jewish people, they have absolutely no idea what they're doing in the kitchen. Have you ever heard anybody say, hey, we just went to this really nice Jewish restaurant the other night? He's like, let's do Passover meal, but let's have the Italians cater it.
And that's the one where he's like, first we're going to read for 2 hours. Like, yeah. 2 hours.
2 hours. He's like, if I'm sitting down at a table, I need bread within 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Fucking legend.
Good one. Good one.
Yep.
Tom, I'm going to take a classic. I'm sure you may have had this on your list. And that's Chris Rock's Bring the Pain 96.
Yep.
And we all know Blacks versus the N-word, that bit. But there's more to it than that. So many great jokes and comedy bits. And even once I shit, there's a reason to kick an old man down a flight of stairs.
That doesn't mean it.
And he's talking about like of domestic abuse. Everybody's doing it. Warren Moon. I forget the other names. Then he goes, Billy D. Williams beating on women. I guess he must have had too much Colt 45. Fucking hilarious. Talk about one, delivery.
Absolutely one. Of the that's one of the greats. That's yeah, one of the greats.
That went so viral.
Oh,
and he talked about the fact that his career was dead. And
yeah,
that bit what like just put him into the stratosphere is one of the greats of all time.
That's one of the great. If you go and Google, which I did just out of curiosity, if you Google like greatest stand-up comedy specials of
all time, always in there.
He's in like usually top five, top eight, whatever, right? Yeah. There. Legend.
Bring the Pain. Yep.
All right.
96.
Now, my number four might be a little bit of controversy. It might be a lot of controversy because this guy is a piece of shit. However,
ooh,
when he was one of the kings in the 70s and 80s, he wasn't a piece of shit. So I'm going to try to separate the art from the artist here. And it was one of my earliest memories of clean comedy. It was on cable all the time. I loved it. My dad loved it. It was one of those things where you could actually watch as a family because it was okay. No curse words. And it was brilliant observational family observational humor. And that is Bill Cosby himself from 1983.
Yep.
One of the to this day, it's still great. Now, again, I know Bill Cosby's a piece of shit. I get it. He deserves everything he's getting. He's a total piece of shit. I get it. But I'm not one of those people that cancel people because of their past. You know, he was funny in 1983. If it's on TV, I'm going to watch it. I mean, everybody knows the chocolate cake routine. Dad is great. I mean, it's one of the greatest. And I think he says Jesus Christ maybe once and like shit maybe once. I'm not even sure. But other than that, it's talking about his kids, his marriage, and all that stuff. He does a bit on getting drunk. It's great. And if you are the kind of person that can separate, then I highly recommend this one. It's legendary.
Two things. First, I remembered my grade school teachers played his comedy albums in class.
Yeah. Yeah. He comes from a generation where we had vinyl records of Bill Cosby records.
Yeah. the teacher in grade school played Bill Cosby albums for us. Mm-hmm. The other one, I'll never forget. I can't find the. I've looked for this clip a while. This is after all the shit kind of came out. Eddie Murphy was on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
Yep.
And Leno's like, yeah, you know, with me and Bill, you know, I'm a little bit older, you know, I got this and that. And Bill, you know, sometimes he would do his thing, like late night Bill comedy. He's like, what? He's like, Bill Cosby? He's like, yeah, it was like After Dark Bill. And Bill would, he goes, what the f-? And Eddie Murphy was like aghast. He's like, what was that? And then I, and he did the impression.
Yeah.
And then I kicked the bitch down the stairs. And I was just like,
yep.
He did that voice as Bill Cosby cursing and swearing and beating up women. I was like, what the fuck?
Yep.
Oh my God. Bill Cosby. Yeah, it's the legend still.
It's a good one. Yep.
But I'm going to stay on that theme, Tom, and I'm going to stick with Eddie Murphy's Raw. And, and that goes in 1987. And and it just leads me right back to the Bill Cosby.
Yep.
Well, tell Bill to have a Coke and a smile and shut the fuck up. And that fucking whole bit, I would like to talk to you, about you cannot say fuck. And he's like, I got mad. I'm like, that's my whole act.
Yeah.
Good night. Suck my dick. Fuck you, motherfucker. Good night. Piss off. Fuck off.
And then the whole bit, Dexter St. Jock is fucking your wife. Well,
Mr. T. And then he does the whole, like, it's smart comedy when he's talking about he's a star and he doesn't want to get trapped.
Yep.
He's like, hey, went to the supermarket. I say, what's up with Johnny and shit? Johnny's wife wants half his money. And Johnny's like this. Face he makes.
And then, of course, the famous thing. Well, maybe it wasn't you.
And I look right at your face.
Was me.
Hey,
I got a funny story about Eddie Murphy Raw. I got a funny story about Eddie Murphy Raw. I saw that in the theaters.
Ooh, you were crazy to do that.
I literally
Fresh Pond Mall.
I think literally worse. Assembly Square in Somerville.
Jesus.
Me, I think we were literally the old. Now I was like 15. I still don't know how we got in. Jesus. Back then. You could get into R-rated movies. I think we were literally the only white people there, and I was like, "Oh God!" Like I felt like the fucking guy in Animal House. So we are gonna die.
Yeah, and it's funny because I saw Vampire in Brooklyn.
Oh man, at the Fresh Pond
Mall.
Oh God,
terrible. All right, buddy.
All right, number three. So I'm going to go back to Chris Rock, but I'm going to go 1999, Bigger and Blacker.
Yes,
which is fucking fantastic. It's not Bring the Pain.
Still, it's fucking so genius.
It's so good. He does this thing he's talking about. He goes, I got a little cousin who got left back in the first grade. Left back in the first grade. You know how dumb you gotta be. Hey, what's 4 + 4? I don't know, Jello.
That's great.
That's when he was just on such a run. I mean, you're right.
God.
Bring the Pain set him off into another layer. Yeah, the king.
Oh, he was fantastic. I watched all those on HBO and stuff. It was like during that time, HBO was in another stratosphere.
Yeah.
Like you got all these comedy specials that were going on.
Always.
You had Carlin. You had fucking Chris Rock.
They were events. They were HBO events.
Sopranos would be playing. All these great shows. Oz. It was just something else.
Yep.
Unbelievable. Yeah. All right, Tom. My second to last one. I'm going to take the Latin Kings of Comedy and George Lopez's skit.
Oh, fucking nice.
Love it. I quote it all the time. That being from an immigrant family myself, I like a lot of those jokes hit home.
And what year was that? What year did that one come out?
The Latin Kings of Comedy came out 2002.
2002. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and he fucking hits it out of the park. The whole thing, I'm like, white people see a line, like, oh God, there's a line. He's like, Mexican people see a line, like, get in line. And he's like, doing like his person, like, what am I in line for? He doesn't give a fuck. And oh my God, it's so funny. Talk about like delivery and like the facial expressions that he makes, so off the charts. Yep. And he's like, and everybody's in their family's always got that one cousin in a wheelchair with a fucked up wheelchair. Yeah. And your grandma's always like, push your cousin. And he's like, and Mexican people don't greet themselves like, hey, how are you? How you been? They're like, do a fucking head move. Yeah. Hey, and when you haven't seen somebody in 20 years, like, oh my God, how you been? He's like, yeah. Mexican people like, where you been, puto? Pushing my cousin.
Oh God.
Pushing my cousin. It's fucking hilarious. Oh. It is so off the chart. I can watch that nonstop laughing my ass off. George Lopez, and that's the Latin Kings of Comedy 2002.
Okay. My last two are my favorite clean comedy and favorite filthy comedy.
Okay.
So number two for me is, I actually remember the very first time I saw this, and I remember having to pause it because I thought I was going to piss myself. And that is 1998's I'm Telling You for the Last Time, Jerry Seinfeld. And I love the concept of it. If you've ever seen it before, it starts off where he has a funeral for the jokes.
Yeah.
And it's all these legendary comedians, Robert Klein and Gary Shandling, and all these guys are there. Yeah. And they're all there, and they're all like dropping like jokes into the casket. And then it starts off, and the little kid is like, Mister. And then he's like, all right, but I'm telling you for the last time. And then he gets up and he does all of his greatest hits. And it's just, it's so fucking perfect. I remember buying the DVD, and to this day, I still love it. I still love it. And like you said, you could just keep going back to it and back to it and back to it.
My God. Yeah. I remember that one. I have that as well. Fucking brilliant. Brilliant.
Yep.
All right, Tom, the last one, I don't know how I saw this or found it.
Okay.
But it could be my favorite comedy special. And I don't really have that many other ones of his I've seen. I've tried them. I haven't found one that I really like. And that is 1998's Eddie Izzard's Dressed to Kill.
Oh, yes. We watched that together, I thought, or at least we watched one of his together.
Yeah. So
yes.
I've watched this movie a million times.
Yes.
You got like first when you see him and you like you're getting into the concept like, what? You know, I saw this in 1998.
Yep.
So like you get over the fact that like the guy dresses as a woman and he enjoys it and he talks about transvestites. That's not
hilarious.
It. When he gets into history and starts talking about like religion, historical stuff, and like talking about like, yeah, I'm from Europe where history comes from. And he talks about Stonehenge and those stones came from like fucking like a million miles away.
Yep.
And he's like, and you can picture the time people pushing it. You want us to push it? It's not far, is it? It's like 10,000 miles in this day and age. Where the fuck do I live? It's like all these people are like, how the fuck did I get here?
Yep.
Holy shit. And then he does like the whole thing about the Church of England and all their like, you know, how they're not very aggressive in their fucking stuff. And like,
yep.
Vicar, I've done something bad. Well, so have I. Fucking all that stuff that he does in the humor and the fucking delivery.
Yeah.
And the
he's
faces
good.
He's he
made. Really, really good.
Fucking brilliant. Brilliant. And if you guys have never seen it, watch it. It's if you like history and humor and things like that, brilliant. Eddie Izzard's 1998 Dressed to Kill.
I love it. I remember that one. All right. My number one is, to me, there are transformational events in your life. Movies, music, things that you just remember, and they just become part of your life, for better or for worse. I know we're not ranking these, but if we were, this would be my number one. Because to me, it is the most untouchable thing on this entire list for me. And that is 1983's Eddie Murphy Delirious. It is. I remember like everybody else our age, Zeus, watching this way too young and not really getting all of what he was talking about, but knowing that it was funny. I mean, the red leather suit just became fucking iconic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously filthy, but then he just does like some of the funny shit, like the ice cream man. And then he starts getting into the family stuff. It's like, but he fell down the steps, but he fell down the steps. Like, just stupid shit like that. I mean, that's where we get our punchlines from with Elvis. You know, Elvis, we got to win this race.
We got to win this race.
Like, it's, and I remember it with that. That was 83 when cable was kind of new in my house, when we had HBO and there was nobody knew what the hell was on. I mean, you'd come home from school and Eddie Murphy Delirious is on. And it just became ingrained for people. I don't think anybody between the ages of 40 and 50 don't know almost every word to this routine.
Yeah, I could say that. I was more into Raw because I was a little older.
Okay.
I understood it more.
I could see that. Yes, yes.
I'm not sure which one. I think Raw is a little smarter.
I do too.
Fucking Delirious is just...
Delirious is way more chaotic and nutty. You're right. Raw, you could see that, like, he had kind of grown, quote unquote, as a comedian for Raw. Definitely.
Yeah, there's a lot of stories and things connect.
Yes.
But Delirious, when he does the singers.
Oh, my God.
And Mick Jagger's an ugly motherfucker with big ass lips. And black people are like,
you got some big ass lips.
And he does. What's the other one? And Luther Vandross, the big Kentucky Fried Chicken eating motherfucker.
Teddy Pendergrass, he scared the panties over those women. You got what I need.
You used the line from that when we talked about, I forget what song it came up on ARC, but remember.
Oh, it was Billy Squire. It was when we were doing Don't Say No. It was like, it was 2 days gone. It was like, moving.
No, moving. No.
Yeah.
No.
And then we're like, moving. Yeah. Moving. Yeah.
That's from Saturday Night Live with James Brown. Live. No, it was something, but somebody we brought up, nothing for nothing means nothing.
It was nothing for nothing. It was Cinderella Night Songs.
That's what it was. And then you threw that quote in.
I said, nothing for nothing means nothing. Had to do something. Motherfucker punch you in the mouth.
That's a great one.
Oh, it's so good.
Love it. Love it. Those are 10 each.
Yep.
No duplicates. Guys, go out and watch them and tell us what you think is your favorite. We'll do this probably list again because there's many we can choose from.
There's a couple legends on here that we don't have. I know people are going to be like, how could you have a list and not have this name and that name? We'll get to it. We'll get to them. We'll get to them.
Till next time. Peace out, Girl Scout.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.